Greetings, folks. This is Pastor Christopher here with you again as we continue our journey. You are listening to Second Mile, a podcast of Project 516, where we reflect on where the journey has taken us on the trail, talk with people who are finding their own time apart, or those who have that traveled wisdom to share with us together. The road goes ever on, to quote from Tolkien, and having someone alongside you as you walk that second mile can make all the difference. This segment of Second Mile walks with a couple of pastors who have committed to hiking a week's worth of miles on the Appalachian Trail with their friends and family. Starting at the southern terminus in Georgia, we'll be heading northbound, hopefully to the Unicoi Gap. There is something about the trail that brings out all kinds of characters. And I'll include myself in that list, certainly. I know that personally I'm a little gregarious. I can come off a little forward and really excited to see and meet people. And that is definitely off-putting sometimes. So I'm sure that I'm in somebody's stories about the kinds of people that you meet on the trail, but it is a thing. Friendliness is a part of that. We talked a little bit yesterday about how the Queen of New England, her posts and things are always very positive. She sees a lot of joy and has a lot of good experiences with different folks who are on the trail coming to give rides and just support her or just support what she's doing or just even just a little bit of encouragement that you have from each other on the trail. You know, we talked yesterday about the guy who was just starting off on day two and had a really heavy pack. And, you know, the rest of us that were gathered there, you know, we didn't stay silent. You know, we said, wow, that's really heavy. You should really, you know, maybe is there anything you can reconsider? Or, you know, we tried to find some ways to engage with him about that and say something helpful and nice. And so there is definitely a community aspect to being on the Appalachian Trail and certainly a lot of the other really well-traveled trails too. But even having said that, there are definitely just some characters, just some folks that are just out there because that's where they fit. It's kind of like going to a comic book convention. And I will say that as a huge comic book enthusiast. I love comics, always have. Been watching the movies, of course, all of the Marvel movies and even the DC movies. But but if you go to a comic book convention, a lot of times what you can see there and what you can kind of bear witness to is a lot of people, or maybe a section of those folks, who are there because that's their element. They are home. This is where they belong. And sometimes folks have trouble finding a place to belong in one way or another. And these very open, welcoming spaces, like comic book conventions, like maybe some other places you could imagine, but also like the trail, collect people that have maybe a harder time finding a place to reside and resonate with and fit in really well with to find their home. So because of that, there are just folks that are on the trail that have had interesting lives or make interesting memories for you. I'll use this as an example, and because I want to kind of couch what we're gonna do in this episode a little bit with this, because I don't want it to come off as us making fun of anyone in any way. If anything, it's a marveling at this unique person. Honestly, you know, you go through life and so many people that you meet every day are just trying to fit in. You know, they're just trying to do whatever job it is they're there to do. If it's a coworker or something, or if you're at school, you know, they're just trying to make the grades, do whatever, play sports, find some fun, you know, have a good time. And they're just trying to fit in. Most people are trying to figure out a way to fit in, and we find different ways to do that. And so it is happily serendipitous for us to meet people who are unique. It's great. It's awesome. It's wonderful. So I just want to tell this story before we get too much further into this as a way of kind of couching something else, another recording that we're going to listen to here in a little bit. One of the guys that was on this trip, that's on this trip with me, his name's David. And we were on another trip and we met a guy. I mean, this is years ago. This is many years ago. And it's a testament to this guy that we just totally remember him. So his trail name was Taba. Taba, if you're out there and you're listening, we appreciate you. We love you, brother. So hope you're doing well. But Taba had some stories. And his trail name, T-A-B-A, was because there and back again. It was an abbreviation or an acronym. I think it's an acronym for that. There and back again from The Hobbit, which we kind of resonated with. We were good with that. We talked to him. It was just one night. We were only with him for one night, but he talked so much. God bless you. and it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. That, you know, if you're into it, the trail is there, you know, being at a campsite or something is the perfect place to talk because, you know, you're not going to get your phone out. There's no TV to watch. there's nothing else going on. It's just you and the fire. And so we were totally into it. And we were just listening to his stories. And he talked about how he was a limo driver in Hawaii for a while and just had some stories about some of the people that he drove around. And at one point, I think I want to say this, and it feels like I've made it up at this point, but I don't think I did. He met the Queen of England at one point and like gave her and her corgis a ride somehow. He just went on and on and on, and he had so many stories. So that's the kind of characters we're talking about. That's the kind of appreciation that I hope you all can hear us come through with. Again, not making fun of these folks in any way, shape, or form, but just kind of marveling at the awesomeness that are some of the characters you meet. And also, like I said, full dispensation. I should be so lucky to be somebody else's character in their story that they would tell of meeting some folks on the trail. I don't know. It's hard to know the crazy things that you do yourself, but other people can certainly tell you. So that's all a preface for this recording that's coming up. And I'll say this too. We'll talk a little bit afterwards. I just want you to hear this guy. His name is Jeff Moon, which, I mean, is there a more classic Georgia Appalachia Mountain name? I mean, it sounds like a character that somebody wrote out of a book who was like, you know, the best moonshiner in the county or something like that. His name was Jeff Moon, and he gave us a ride. We had to do a little yellow blaze on this part of the journey, and he gave us a ride. And as soon as we started, I just knew. I got out the recorder and I was like, I got to start this. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be something, and I've got to do it. And so I'm not sure how much of it I'll include here. I may skip around a little bit. You'll get a flavor for what our 30-minute car ride was like. And if you hear anything in our voices as we're kind of responding to him and talking back and stuff, just know that it is just like it's that availability to being in his story for that moment and just listening to this awesome slice of life that we don't have necessarily a lot of anymore. you know, especially if you're living out in the cities or things like that, you don't have somebody that really dispenses the colloquial wisdom, which is absolutely wonderful and valid and precious, and is willing to just share their story along the way. And like I said, you probably wouldn't meet this guy in another context, or Jeff would probably not maybe be willing to talk to you as much if he didn't know you were coming off the trail. So there's this kind of immediate trust that has been built into this place, this sacredness of this space, a lot like the Comic-Cons and things like that, where people know, okay, these people are hiking, they're hikers, so I am going to trust them a little bit. I'm going to share some of myself and some of my story with them. And there's a certain back and forth that's going on there that doesn't always happen other places in the world. So another little thing that makes being on the Appalachian Trail, being on trails in general, hiking and doing that kind of stuff, being part of that kind of community makes that pretty special. So we'll take a little listen here, and we'll come back in just a minute.
Somebody wrecked out there just the last couple of days. But right there, that's where the tractor trailers are going off.
Really?
Right in that hole. Can you imagine what a ride? It ain't killed nobody yet. But those tractor trailer cabs are built pretty tough just because they have their potential.
Yeah.
But one day there's going to be a van coming up through here or something.
Yeah.
And the DOTs ain't like, well, we can't do anything about it. Their GPSs are leading them through here.
Yeah.
And that sounds like it'd be real simple to fix to me. Uh-huh. Call the GPS manufacturers, tell them they're sued. If we get sued, we're putting it on you.
Yeah.
Right.
It don't work like that.
That don't do something.
Because all these littler trucking companies make their drivers buy their own GPS. And they don't buy the commercial one that costs $1,000. They buy just the cheapest one they can get.
Huh,
and it shows them this route right here. It's like they're a car.
Wow.
He thinks they're a car, probably.
Yeah.
He thinks any tractor trailer would have a commercial. So, I think maybe the DOT sort of hogs been written on this.
Oh, wow. Yeah, look at that.
Where y'all from?
North Carolina.
Where are you at in North Carolina?
Raleigh.
Yeah.
Greensboro area.
Ate the best barbecue ever ate in my life in Raleigh.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Hurricane Floyd.
Huh.
They served it to, I don't know, it's catered. We were at some like a stadium.
Uh-huh.
They had a stage waiting on the floodwaters to go down. You remember Hurricane Floyd, anybody?
Yeah.
You know, it just stalled out and dropped like 24 inches of rain, literally right. Something like that.
Yep.
Washed everything.
We
took care of everything around Raleigh. I ran a tree crew for Pike Electric. You've heard of Pike Electric? They work a lot for Deeks Power.
Yeah, do power contracts a lot out to
them. They started with Deeks Power.
Okay.
Deeks Power was their very first customer. Floyd S. Pike started out with one truck. Then he raised out of the Neuse River, I think it was.
Oh, uh-huh, yeah.
It sunk, and he salvaged it, a boom truck. Hell, back then, they climbed everything. They used that to help set poles. It's sitting in Mount Airy, North Carolina. You probably ain't that far from
there. Yeah,
yeah.
Used to go there all the time.
Well, if you went to the Pike headquarters and they let you look at it, they got that truck totally restored. It's like a 1928 or 29, or he's been dead 20 something years, 25 years. And he started when he's pretty young.
Hmm.
But New Power was, that's who you worked for from day one. God dang it, if this damn phone rings or dings or anything one more time, hold on.
Been pretty busy doing shuttles.
Oh my God.
So this month.
Yesterday, in 1 hour, if I didn't take 15 calls, I didn't take one. But that don't sound that bad over 60 minutes. But
yeah,
you have to understand, at any one time, four of them 15, not a one of them said, nope, can't do it. Well, okay, maybe two of them, maybe more than two, say three. I said, I can't, I'm booked up. But it's like, okay, you'll do it for how much? Okay, let me talk to my husband. Okay, then they get off.
Yeah.
And the next one says, well, we're not sure when we want to be picked up, so let me talk to my friend. So then it's something all the freaking time. And I ain't griping.
Yeah.
But this year's been, I've stepped up some and advertised a lot more and stuff. And I'm in the midst of actually mining. I shouldn't tell y'all, but There ain't a shuttler out here that's got a permit for the Forest Service to do this. You don't need one on these roads right here.
Yeah.
When you go way back in Forest Service, you're technically supposed to have one. Well, I'm going to start doing, technically, they actually, my friend who sits at home and dispatches while his girlfriend drives, and that's the way they like it. It works great. I'm just seeing since I've got started getting so many more calls that there needs to be two of me or I need somebody to help me.
Yeah.
I get home, it ain't over then. And as soon as I get home at midnight, I gotta actually, it sounds like a hell of a thing to be griping about, but I don't want to Facebook. And I got a business page. I gotta put something up there at least every 2 days to keep people coming.
Yeah.
And just to kind of keep interest, because I am going to bust out in this waterfall thing.
Yeah.
I got to have a permit for that. Mm. I mean, I ain't got to, but the way the Forest Service is, they just don't want to know.
Yeah.
Now, they caught somebody a while back because the dumbass put signs all along the road. And all he wanted to do was go from Neil's Gap to town. That's all he's interested in. He lived close to Neil's Gap. And all these signs said something was like, shuttle rides from Neil's Gap to town. Well, Forest Service owns mountain crossings, you know that?
Yeah, right.
Well, most places they couldn't really do nothing about that. But because he had these signs in their face, they couldn't miss. They'd have to work to find them. They're like driving right by them. They don't want to work, trust me. I'm sorry. But, you know, I ain't seen many of them working in my whole life. They got a different attitude. They won't wave at you when you pass them on the dirt road. Two in a row the other day. They're going to do a controlled burn over close to High Target.
Yeah.
I guess they were coming out of there for maybe marking it, and I guess they're not the regular ones that actually supposed to get out there and work physically, but the engineers or something. Yeah. They just looked at me like I was an idiot, and I waved at them. Both of them just looked. They saw me.
Huh.
Like, what's wrong with you? You got Tourette's or something? Hell, when I moved up here on the highway, if you didn't wave to somebody, hell, you knew everybody you met.
Yeah.
And next time I saw you, they'd say, are you mad at me? Or something like that. That's a good trout stream right there.
Oh, really?
That little big creek right there. I got a friend called 21 and a half inch brown trout.
What?
Y'all, there's been a lot bigger. Not a lot bigger, but I got two friends. I got a friend called 21 inch. He's a 69, I'm 58. He caught that one. He was fairly young. People didn't know how to fish for big trout back then.
Yeah.
They used to fish 12 pound test and damn big old sinker, and they see that line. People started figuring out 4 pound test or at most 6 pound lure. They caught the shit out of some big old skimmer. Huh. Does that bother y'all?
No.
I never truck through that. They say something first.
Yeah.
I go by the degree of how I don't really. Getting back in the habit of cussing back at my son's out of the house. He's in college.
Yeah.
He don't cuss. I'm proud of him. If he does, he's a buried man. He don't say that very bad. But I worked around a bunch of roughnecks all my life. Just hear it all day. Every day. It was bad when my kids were little. I would never cuss in front of them. Friend to call that one, somebody from work, talking to him. Yeah, fuck that. I mean, I would probably didn't say that, but I'd say something like, son of a bitch, what? And the girls would be like, Dad, sorry.
Okay, so that's the first part of Jeff talking to us in the car. I'll tell you, I stopped it here because we saw an accident, not happen, but we were coming around the bend of that old country road pretty soon after, I think. A couple of the people had stopped, and I didn't want to include that in the recording just in honor of, people that might have been hurt or injured. By the time we left, Jeff did stop the car and got out, of course, just to check in on everybody, see what the needs were. By the time he was coming back to the car to let us know what was going on, we saw some first responders coming to the site. So prayers and blessings on the guy who had the motorcycle accident there that day, but I did want to skip that. And also just take a break here to kind of talk a little bit about Jeff. And to say, one, it was a great ride. It was a safe ride. 5 stars all the way. Jeff was kind and courteous to us. You'll see that he asks us if it's okay if he cusses. And I think that's kind. And regardless of how you feel about cussing or anything like that, I just feel like it's important to let people be who they are in any context where you're the guest in a lot of ways. So we were guests in his car, so to speak. So I did everything I could to make him feel like he could be exactly who he was and is. So you've heard some of Jeff's stories. You'll hear a few more here in just a minute. Listen to the way, like the way these stories come out. They were stories about fishing holes. There were stories about the road. There were stories about family. There were stories about the neighborhoods. There were stories about the community. I think I felt like when I was listening to all of his stories that this is a caring person who is deeply entrenched in a lot of different roles in their community, and that's pretty awesome. I wonder, a lot of times I think you can be from a city or have experience in the cities and see that kind of storytelling or life sharing as odd or unique or something. And I wonder what's lost. I grew up in a small town community and that was pretty normal for us. But I wonder what's lost as we come into the cities, and not like a city versus country kind of thing, but I've often talked about the different ways that we can isolate. And in the city, you isolate very obviously, you know, you isolate as an individual. County communities can often isolate as a community, and neither one, I think, is the way we're built, and neither one's the way forward for us as humans, as created people of God. But it's just kind of a thought as we go back into some more of Jeff Moon, and then we'll have kind of a wrap up at the end of this. So enjoy the drive.
You do. Your dad used to read me Louis L'Amour short stories and
Louis L'Amour
cowboy poems. I never heard of a cowboy. I didn't know there was such a thing. There is a website.
Yeah.
And she said, I didn't like the stories or poems much, but I liked the guy reading them. So. So I wish we'd found one and read it. By God, I went home, got on the internet, found this shitty amateur poetry. I ain't much of a... I like to read. It's one of the biggest probably hobby out inside. I ain't got TV.
Yeah.
And back before there was the internet, I didn't have a TV for 3 years. And I listened to good music, read books. Drank a little liquor too, but not only at home and only, you know, after I never missed work.
Yeah. Do you make any? Yeah.
Everybody asks that. Now, it's a lot of work. You gotta really.
It is, yeah.
The people that are inclined to make liquor, they're making meth.
Yeah.
They make a lot more money and they're selling it or, you know, growing weed or whatever.
Yeah.
There is a little. I got some at home. If I had some with me, I'd give y'all a little bit. Guy called me this morning. He gets in Cosby, Tennessee, where you ever heard of popcorn setting?
Yeah.
He lived there in that cove. Make this is some of his relatives. Yeah, to me it ain't. I've drank some really good back in the day.
Yeah.
We used to buy it from the brother of the sheriff in the next county over. Towns County. We're about to be in Towns County right up here.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't that far because he lived fairly close to the county line, but it's still a pretty good drive.
Yeah.
He made apple brandy that.
Oh.
Look, they're going to put a shooting range right here next to the freaking trail.
Oh.
A private shooting range.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there's another one on the other end, just 2 miles down the road already.
Huh.
But that one's up next to a real steep bridge, and you can't hear it. It reflects the sound away from the... You know, the highest mountain in Georgia is right here. It's going up.
Oh, yeah.
Brasstown.
What is it? Brasstown?
Well, they're going to hear this shit all day long. Because it's a private club. The sheriff is heading.
Oh.
And he's the one that found that site. I tricked them supervisor of the Forest Service into admitting that. I tricked him. I changed gears on him immediately. I mean, big time. I was bitching about the Rangers and the way they're doing it over around Springer. And they're going to get somebody killed. Just watch the papers. They're a dead 18-year-old.
Yeah.
They're intentionally trying to piss the DNR off on that wildlife mansion over the...
Why?
I don't know. Because he's new and...
Stilt fence. Prevent, like, stuff running down the water.
Yeah, that was my big thing about this shooting range.
Yeah.
That is on the... That creek branch is on the headwaters of my favorite trout stream.
Oh.
It's already got problems downstream on public land.
Oh.
There's a private fish hatchery right on the creek that diverts the whole creek through the fish hatchery. It'd be illegal as hell now, but it's grandfathered in.
Mm.
And what you... There's been a 29-inch brown trout come out of that creek. It's not big either. It's bigger. It's about wide as these two lanes.
Yeah.
But not everywhere.
Yeah.
And it ain't deep, but it's got some good holes in it.
Huh.
That's a long time ago when people were first learning how to catch a line.
Yeah.
And, you know, just hanging one, I found out myself, hanging one 4 pounds of this and landing, that's two different things.
Yeah.
A big one and a little big creek.
Yeah.
I followed somebody. Now, I got a stomachache. I don't know what's going on. I don't have diarrhea, but I had to stop it.
Yeah.
It's a little embarrassing. I'm on my way over here. But if that, like that wasn't enough, you know, I left out, I would misclass people. She's a trip.
Yeah.
My God, she's good. She told me she's a, I can't remember what it was, and I thought, yeah, that sounds like a bullshit title person. Well, she's not. She's, but I just saw my doctor about this thing I got on my foot.
Yeah.
That girl looked, examined my foot, insisted on it.
Uh-huh.
And told me some shit. Different than my doctor, but I believe her.
Huh.
She's nearly a doctor. She's had more training than a physician's assistant.
Uh-huh.
She's accredited by the World Health Organization.
Uh-huh.
And she actually works in Appalachia. Right now she's working in Texas. She had to do something for school to get.
Uh-huh.
She had to do some, she had to go where they said to get to pay for some of the school credits.
Oh, I mean, yeah,
they,
okay.
Help scholarship.
Yeah, yeah.
If she got one more quarter, she'd be a MD. She could take one. She ain't even interested in that.
Uh-huh.
She's a Duma. You know what a Duma is?
Yeah, yeah.
She's also a death.
For birth and
a
stuff?
A death Duma. You ever heard of that?
Oh, yeah. Where you, like, help people.
Go through. And she's a life coach. And she said, and I'm a real life coach.
Wow.
So everybody that does massages considers herself a life coach now. But I've been to school to be a life coach. She said, I can tell you. I take your whole life and tell you, she said, I don't try to tell you what you're doing wrong. I tell you how it's affecting your body.
Right.
Huh. So it could be some little thing that's causing you to have something that's really stressing that little thing.
Yeah.
It's causing it. I'm eating up stress right now.
Really?
Just because of, I'm trying to do a lot bigger volume and I ain't got nobody to take calls or nothing.
That's a lot.
I'm getting a shitload of calls and I miss every call when I'm out of service. And I'm out of service a lot.
So yeah,
going
back
getting
and
all
forth.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been looking at these satellite GPS units you can text
from.
Oh,
yeah, right.
But the thing is, right now, I ain't buying one.
Yeah.
There's a the most common complaint anybody had, and I read, I bet 500 reviews of them. Said, well, it does take a lot of times, 4 or 5 minutes for my text to go out, but I'm like, hell that. They done called somebody else by then.
Yeah, right.
That's what it is.
Totally.
As soon as they hang up, they're dialing. They don't get me. They're dialing someone else.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, have you called and got my message? Did y'all call and get a message?
No, I just texted.
Dude, my message is terrible. But most of the time, it don't even matter because they don't. Oh,
motorcycle
hell.
Came off the road.
I don't see ZIA.
Fire
bitch could be dead. What? Can I
just...
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
There's
I mean, there was somebody in a fire jacket. I don't know.
Dude, look, they got him on the backboard.
Yeah, they have
I wonder if any of them help.
He's
excuse
moving.
Him up
by moving.
Oh,
Yeah. So that was some of our time with Jeff. I'll get to the reason that we were yellow blazing it, which was a lot to do with some of the stuff we've talked about before about, you know, respecting where you are as a person, as a body, as a human, as this created amalgam of bones and blood and flesh. we were really tired. And mostly, I say we, and really, it was mostly me, maybe. It's a little unclear, honestly. I didn't know whether it was one of those things where some others in the group were respecting what they were perceiving as my limitations, or whether there was some possibility of saying, yeah, I think we're going to use this as a good reason to kind of peel off early and have some fun. We decided we were going to have some fun, go see a movie and some other things, stay at a hotel. Because I tried to argue. I was like, well, yeah, well, let's do less miles today. Let's hike less miles. But let's camp out. Let's camp out one more night. Let's spend our last night here out on the trail, but just closer to where we might be able to be picked up the following day. And I was like, no. If we're getting off, we're getting off. So I was like, all right, fine. But yeah, so just a lot of the things I've been talking about body-wise and just kind of being surprised at being like, wow, man, I'm so tired. Getting up this morning was a lot better. It was a lot better. It wasn't all the stiff achiness and total pain. but it definitely was a sense of just deep tiredness. But spiritually, mentally, I think we were in a lot better place just because we knew we were getting off. And also got to experience some trail magic. A guy came through at one of the road crossings and had fresh fruit and water. And I don't know, we hung out for a little while and appreciated it and took it and welcomed his hospitality, which was really good. No matter if you're a through hiker or a section hiker, or if you've been on the trail for 8 days or 2 days or whatever. And that again kind of refers back to what we've been talking about, the view you can take of the people on the trail. And I think that translates to the view you can take of people in general. Do you want to see people as, backwards hicks, or do you want to see people as basically decent, who are trying in a lot of ways and who are really deep products of their environment and things like that? I brushed up against this last year. You know, I work a lot with racial reconciliation and things here in the city, and I have a problem when I see folks with license plates or stickers or things on the backs of their cars that, you know, out themselves as people that might have a problem with that, with reconciliation, with race in general. And one of the guys who was a paramedic who helped get one of us off the trail last year when we had an injury had that car. And, you know, I had carried a man 3 miles downhill with this guy, and I had to really, you know, come to grips with myself and be like, okay, like, I walked with this guy. I feel like I know that he is, has some decency in him, and yet here's this. So now what do we do? It's just a warning against, I think, vilifying people outright, and also even less than vilifying, even if you don't vilify someone, even if you don't go that extra step. How do you alter your expectations of people based on environment, or how do you alter what you require them to do in order to be seen as worthy of humanity in your eyes? Anyway, that's a question for this day. And also just the idea that you have to trust in your lack of control. You know, this wasn't the plan. This wasn't what we set out and intended to do. But again, goal versus experience. What were the real goals of the trip? To be together, to have some foundational experiences, to be out in nature, to seek and explore God in each of our own ways and together as a group of guys, as a group of folks going out into the wilderness. Yeah, I mean, those things happened, and it's just a fact that you can't control everything. And sometimes that's positive and you get trail magic and you get an awesome car ride with somebody. And sometimes that feels negative. You don't get to complete something. You feel physically tired, but you still have a choice on how you're going to view that and how you're going to couch that. We had that saying on the trail that the strap doesn't have to be crooked. And again, we'll get into that a little bit more tomorrow. I think we're going to do one more event together here on this section of Second Mile, just so we can just do a wrap up and maybe talk a little bit about Endgame, which we're excited to see. So many blessings to all the yellow blazers and blue blazers who are out there. Never feel like you are less or less worthy than anyone else who's ever section hiked or through hiked or done it the quote unquote right way. There is no right way. There is the way that God has outlined for you, which is sometimes up against your plans. But your lack of control is something that you can trust in and deepen yourself in and exercise in and allow God to take the reins in a more physically demanding way in your life. I wanted to end also with just one last Jeff Moon story. he has this story about a fox who grows fat on mulberries. It was such a perfect thing for him to kind of end our trip with and end our car ride with. You'll hear us slamming doors and getting out of the car and everything else. And it was so much like a fable, like just some Aesop fable that was just coming up out of the Georgia mountains. So good place for us to end this cast today. So until tomorrow, we'll see you then.
A few years ago, when I was laid up from one of my surgeries, right when those mulberries come in, there was a biggest gray fox. They don't usually get big. Huh. I mean, I'd say that thing was 25 pounds maybe, and they usually about 15 pounds.
Yeah.
It was not a red fox. Every day if we go to that tree. But one day I'm sitting there watching it, and I kind of got to, hey, it was cool as shit. I got a trail going across the hill to my parents' house. It was a big hill. I bought 4 acres from him. You can't see their house from there, but that trail will lead you right up there. He come running down that trail. I sit on the porch close to here to one of those trees. He ran right down across my yard or my driveway yard, ran straight down that mulberry tree. He didn't even look at me. But what was funny was about 2 days later, he's going every day. He came in a different way, and just as he got there, he jumped a rabbit. I thought, boy, I'm going to see a race now. Shit, he didn't even look at that rabbit. Why would he go look at that rabbit? He had to chase it. He's going to eat all them mulberries he wanted off the ground. They're going to use the least energy they can.
Yeah.
That's why bears getting dumpsters.
Yeah,
while
they
raid y'all's bag.
Yeah.
Not even.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Second Mile, a podcast of Project 516. Project 516 is a ministry which seeks to support clergy and lay people as they traverse some of the hardest parts of their lives. In the book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 16, it says that Jesus often walked away from the crowds to seek God and rejuvenate in the wilderness. Project 516 helps hold you accountable, supplies you with resources and community, and clears the way for you to rejuvenate the spiritual path of your life. Let's journey together. To find out more about Project 516, visit us on the web at project516.org or find us on Facebook or Instagram at Luke 516.